Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. It's time to talk to the radio voice of the Utah Jazz. His interview on the station, on the show, is brought to you by Bucked Up Energy. Real ingredients, real focus, unreal energy. Visit buckedup.com to find your local retail store. Mention code KSL in-store to get your free energy drink. No purchase necessary. He is the one and only David Locke. What's up, David?
Jake Scott, one of the best out there. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you? It's crazy. This season has gone by so slowly yet so fast at the same time.
Yeah, they all have their own rhythm to them. Last year we had that bizarre scheduling thing. I don't know if you remember where we played all those road games and and then we were home forever. That was one of the most bizarre years I've ever had. I was as tired in the middle of that season. I actually remember kind of feeling sick just from fatigue that I've really ever felt doing this job. And then this year I'd say it's been kind of more of a, we haven't had that kind of crazy stretch of games or terrible scheduling. It's just been kind of these ups and downs of emotions and, you know, tough start where I remember vividly wondering, oh my gosh, are we going to lose to Detroit and San Antonio in a span of a week? And like their losing streaks were going to be, I don't remember what the numbers were, right? But they were historic, and you were scared you were going to lose to both. And then right at that moment, the team got hot. And then obviously we've closed in, fine. More and more out about our young players every day and putting a big burden on them and seeing how they deal with it.
I continue to be haunted by the conversation that emerged from last season that the last 25 games of the year don't matter in these situations because there's just not much you can take from them. And then I look at, the Jazz are 3-24 in their last 27 games, and I'm trying to do my job and figure out what matters and what doesn't. And do you have any concept of what is real and what's not real over the last 27 games?
It is an interesting – I have generally believed, particularly when looking at, good teams, like the first 20 tells me what I want to know. Like those are the 20 games – that is, when I'm like, who are you going to pick as your champions? Like, well, let's go back and look what standings were after 20 games. So I generally have believed in that. And I've generally believed that you can make a really, really big – the two areas where you can make the biggest mistakes in evaluation are the final 20 games of an NBA season or in playoff series. In other words, there's matchups that individual players can be really good at in a playoff series, but they're not right, and it just happened to be right for them. And then you go decide that player's really good. Well, the truth is that player was just really good against that team, and they happened to play him six times. Those are huge contrasting moments where you can make really big evaluation mistakes. So I do generally look at the last 20 with a little bit of a, hey, let's make sure we know who we were playing against, what those games were, really dig into a second level. Now, this year might be a little different in that because of the play-in and the way it's working, there are 20 teams that are still going pretty hard right now. There's certainly 8 of them that aren't, but there are still 20 of them that are going pretty hard right now.
So with that in mind, that the evaluation is difficult in these circumstances. I'm looking for something from you, David, that's optimistic that you've seen in the last 20 games. What gives you optimism? I think the fan base is a little down, but there are things that are going right on the floor. Give me one.
I think the first one is that you just know that you've got the right guy in charge in Will Hardy. Like, I think if you look at some of these other teams, they've been in this stage and they're not clear about their leadership or their direction. And then that gets really questionable. Like, do we have the right GM? Do we have the right ownership? Do we have the right president? I think there should be really almost no doubt from a Jazz fan on, Ryan Smith as an owner or a governor. Danny Ainge's track record speaks for itself. His vision is truly championship based. The hardest thing, there's a really interesting line here. Like, really, probably how much pain we can handle is directly correlated to how much future success we might be able to have. Right? I do think there's a level where, like, you bail because, oh, it's too hard. Yeah, then you probably don't make it that far up the mountain, right? If you're hiking up a really steep pitch and, yeah, this is hard, we're gonna quit early. You don't get to see the view at the top. And there is something here where the more pain you endure, you're probably increasing your chance for long-term success more, which is really hard. And so I think that when you look at where we are, you have leadership that seems really committed to the task, and in Ryan, Danny, and Justin. And then I think Will Hardy's clearly the right guy, and Jake and Ben, you know, Jake, you're hearing all of his post games, and Ben, you've been there for all of his, you know, there is an approach and a vision, and there's things they've done this year that, you know, don't help them win on a nightly basis, but that are built for long-term success. They changed the way they defended for a while because the guys were so scheme-based. Nobody was guarding their man. They were like, okay, we're not switching. For the next five games, we're not switching. Guard your freaking man, right? Like, and that's not a great way to play defense in the NBA, but it gets a message across to the young guys that, like, you are responsible still for yourself. And frankly, our defense has gotten a lot as tough as it's been. We've moved from in that since then, we've moved from 30th to 24th. It's not great, but it's not, that's at least the right direction. So I do think we've just seen a lot of little areas where you're seeing these guys make strides and you have the right leadership. From the standpoint of our young players specifically, I just think exposure and hopefully understanding of what it takes. I haven't seen anything, you know, from Keyonte Brice or Taylor Hendricks that tells me, oh my gosh, we have the next this. But I'm hoping that the struggles and the difficulty let them understand how hard it is and how hard they're going to have to work, and that, oh, I am at a different level of playing than I ever thought I was going to be, and this is way harder.
I was going to ask you to give me which of the three rookies has the highest ceiling, but I don't want to do that. I want to ask you, what do you see the ceiling as for those three guys? I think that might actually be more interesting.
I don't think their ceilings are any different than what I thought they were when the year started. Whether they're going to reach them or not, I think is still as much in doubt as it was at the beginning of the season. So, I mean, the comps, I think, are all probably the same. The high-end comp on Keyonte is Jamal Murray. The high-end comp on Taylor Hendricks might be Jaren Jackson Jr., though he's a little shorter. So it might have to be some other 6'9 defender instead. I think Jaren Jackson's 6'11. Bryce Sensabaugh, is he Tim Hardaway Jr.? Is probably his high-end ceiling. But those are high-end ceilings. I don't know that any of those guys get there, but I don't think I've seen anything that changes what the ceiling were for these players. I mean, certainly, you know, I think you've been on this one, Ben. Like, we'd all like to see the ball go in more for Keyonte right now. Like, the numbers are a little scary. But also, when you stop and go, okay, well, what's happened? Your point has been since Jordan Clarkson stopped playing. Mine is since Lauri Markkanen stopped playing.
Yeah.
Both are accurate. But Keontae's shooting percentage when he plays without Lauri Markkanen is dramatically different than when he plays with him. And I think the same is true that you've pointed out for Jordan Clarkson. So, again, I'm just not willing to – the circumstances have been such I'm not willing to do a lot of – evaluating on who they are, kind of back to our last 20 games of the season. I don't think anything's changed when you drafted and what we've seen. It's not as though, you know, Keyonte's more athletic than I thought he was. Bryce is as powerful. Taylor's as athletic. It hasn't been like, oh gosh, you know, Taylor can't do this or do that. In fact, Taylor's moving much better laterally at this point of the season than when he was earlier this year. So I've actually seen an increase in some of the athleticism on Taylor than what I saw earlier this year.
So, David, I can only imagine that back when you were a young program director / show host in Salt Lake City back in the 90s, that one of your layup summer topics was always, because it always has been as long as I've been doing it too, is what if another major league franchise came to Utah? We'll take your calls right now. You know, I mean, is it going to be baseball? Is it going to be hockey? Could we support it? David, we're on the cusp. It may happen. It looks likely, and I'm not trying to downgrade RSL, which has been a great success, but you know, you talked about it back then. It may happen. We're this close. What do you think?
So I've had a few, been very fortunate in my career, and most of it's happened in Utah, to have some real highlight moments. And the two highlight moments of my broadcast career, I think, relate to this, so I will share them. Or two of the highlight moments. There have probably been some others. But the one that jumps out to me the most, the number one moment that I remember being the most emotional moment I've ever had broadcasting in my entire career, was at Washington Square in downtown Salt Lake City, which I think is what it's still called, when they announced the Olympics were coming to Salt Lake. I think that was 94. So I've now dated myself. That was, 30 years ago that I was broadcasting for here in Salt Lake City? But I think if you go back, I think that's 1994, Sports Radio 570. Boy. And I was on the air live when they made that announcement. That's the most emotional moment I've ever had as a broadcaster, other than maybe one other. That the world had chosen to come to Salt Lake. I remember that. And I don't know if people know this, but my dad got in business here in 1976. You know, and at the time, I don't think Western Airlines existed. I don't think you could get fresh fish. I mean, there's been an evolution in this marketplace of just really going from, like, you know, the Diamond Lils of the world to the Flemings, right? Like, Diamond Lils is closed, so
Diamond
I think I can say
Lils.
That. Right? Right? I mean, Chuck-O-Rama was our high-level cuisine there for a while. Diamond Lils, like, we've just, you know, and now we have Tekashi. Like, we've emerged. And, you know, so that moment to me still just, I have a picture of it framed in my office, actually. It's really a meaningful moment that my dad was on the very first ever Olympic committee for Salt Lake. So I'm sure there was some very personal, that's got some real personal ties to me too. But it really was incredible. The second was, you know, was the tour stop by Jim Rome, when at the time Rome was the biggest of the big, and we had in 1998, we had him out here and we filled the Gallivan Center. And the reason I just bring these two moments up is that they're just kind of, they were the biggest, having another franchise come to Salt Lake and have a league say, yes, yeah, we'll take your ownership and we believe in your city and we believe in your ownership in Ryan Smith, but it also is, we believe in your market and what's being built here. I think is kind of in that realm of that kind of moment to me, of the fact that this city is just growing up, that we've all been here and we've all seen it. And, you know, I obviously have been here for, you know, I took a little respite where I went away, but my dad got in business here in 76 and was major, you know, worked with, you know, I go back to, like, you know, Mayor Wilson, and, you know, whose daughter is now the mayor of Salt Lake County, and all those kind of meetings that, like, I was lucky as a kid to hear about trying to grow this city, to have them actually now come to fruition with another pro sports franchise is amazing. It also is just, you know, Ryan is just bullish. He believes in Utah. He just says it all the time, and he's backing that up with another $1 billion. So, which is just a sentence that's weird. So I'm sorry, I'm kind of babbling about it, but I'm thinking about it. I think it's, you know, monumentally huge moment for the state. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that I kind of think by 2034, you have a second Olympics and three major sports franchises here. And that's just a different city than the one that, you know, we were here, you know, before. You just kind of run through the moments. I mean, I can do it, so I'll stop here because I kind of want to keep babbling. But it's just, it's really fascinating to look back at how this place has grown and the impact of Delta Airlines and the Olympics in 2002 and then individual companies along the way. And I think Qualtrics, you know, personally, I feel like Qualtrics is to Utah is going to be the Microsoft to Seattle. I was in Seattle post the big Microsoft millionaires all starting their own companies. And next thing you know, you know, those were all being built, and you had, and I think Qualtrics is going to create the same thing. There's a lot of people walking around here with a lot of money right now. They're going to reinvest in our community and build the next version of the next companies. And it's going to be pretty awesome to see. Sorry, that was really long. Sorry.
No, all good. Very appropriate. You brought up Mayor Wilson. He passed away this morning. I don't know if you.
I didn't know that
news.
Oh no. Yeah. Oh, that's sorry. I did not know. That's terrible. He and my dad did a lot of work, and my dad thought very, very, very highly of him. I know. So.
Oh, absolute legend in the community. It's 100%.
Oh, I did not know that. Thoughts to his daughter Jenny and their family, you know, we've actually got to know them through school a little bit. So, you know, a lot of thoughts to all of them.
Man, it's been
fun. Sorry to hear that.
Love hearing your perspective, though, David, because it certainly is fun being a part of the growth of the sports industry in this market. And you've been around it, obviously, longer than I have. And we're a pioneer in your, I almost want to say, previous career because, you know, it's different than what you're doing now. But cool to be here for it all.
I mean, I think it's really, like, it's neat to have kind of, I don't know, to grow up somewhere or like, you know, I joke all the time about, oh gosh, I'm getting old, but there's actually a really wonderful thing about getting old, right? Like, you know, like to be here when the first sports, to be a part of the very first sports radio station in the market, to then be a part of, you know, working with Chris Tunis when he moved from KSL and, you know, we were doing magazine styles to suddenly doing real talk shows to suddenly having the number one sports station and sports talk show in the market now, you know, which in some extent I think mattered. Like we proved in the mid 90s, like how big a sports community this is. And what you're capable of doing. And, you know, the fans of Delta Center for all those years have proven it. And it's just neat, you know, see what the Millers built. Right. It feels to me, I made this comment on Locked On Jazz today, feels like we've just been also very fortunate with our ownerships. Like the Millers were there at the right time in the right place to save us when we could have been, we're in Vegas and on our way out. And Salt Lake would have never been a major city. Had the Jazz left when Larry saved them, like we're not getting another franchise. This would, you know, we'd just be sitting here. And, you know, for us to be able to then maintain that, show the world. And then I do think that Ryan and Ashley have taken with this aggressive ownership style at the right time, the right place and time. You know, the article came out yesterday in the Deseret News where the number one growing economy in America, like it's the right time to have an ownership who is got youth guts and bullish and a buttload of money. And it's pretty neat to see.
Ben, it was pretty funny. All the broadcast assistants the other night dressed like David for the game. It was a pretty good bit.
I saw Kristen.
Did you notice right away, David? Because David's got we've got a staff on the radio broadcast. How many broadcast assistants do we have this year, David?
Five.
And then Jamil jumped in and everybody dressed like you the other night. It was funny.
Well, Kristen doesn't wear oversized sweaters and black pants and Jordans very often. So
you noticed
pretty quickly when I saw Kristen. Tyler Gibb, who does great work, just dressed like he often is. And Leaf could have looked like he was just being more formal for the day. But Kristen was a pretty good dead giveaway.
That was the tell. David, you are the best. I look forward to seeing you tonight, man. It's gonna be.
I want to take a moment. Yeah. I want to tip my hat to you if I can. And Ben, you filled in a good deal, but I really want to tip my hat to Jake. I did it for many, many years. If we're going to go back through, you know, this kind of sentimental look at things because of the hockey franchise, I did it for many, many years where I hosted a show. I think actually the exact same time of the day that you're doing it. And then also had to do the Jazz games at night. And those were some of the most exhausting times of my life. I did the same in Seattle. So, it's a lot of work for you to circle back and turn the energy back on at 6 o'clock every night to do the pregame show and to rev it back up. And I admire the work you do. You've done a great job. And frankly, to some extent, your job in a season in which there are not a lot of wins is far harder than mine. Mine is just to tell people what's happening. You have to analyze and talk about it without the luxury of just following the ball. So I admire the work you and Tim have done a great deal. And hope everyone in Utah knows how lucky they are to have you doing that. Cause it takes a lot to juice that thing back up every night. And you've done a wonderful job with it.
Oh man, David, that is such a terrific compliment. Thank you very much. That really makes my day. And I'll just add this, that it makes it a lot easier when we work with such a great group. Not just good at what they do, but like really fun to be around and make it a little bit easier, liking who you work with. So appreciate you and all you do, man.
Thanks a lot, guy. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
See you tonight.
Yep.
Okay.
There you go. The one and only David Locke. And yeah, it was funny to watch the whole group dress like David. Jamil had a button up sticking out of his sweater.
Yeah.
So funny. Those guys are, that's a fun group. And appreciate all that David does. And especially appreciate him jumping on with us on Thursdays.
Yeah, all season for him to make time for us, whether he's been on the road or whatever he's been doing.
skiing. He talked to us on the ski slope like while
several times
going down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. The season's over. It's we'll obviously have to do more of a postmortem coming up next week when it's all done. And
but Sunday's it.
We hear from Danny Ainge. I mean, you know, I know there's been some complaint.
Are we going to hear from Danny Ainge?
I don't think Justin Zanuck's back at work yet, as he continues to recoup from his kidney transplant. So I would imagine. I mean, last year we heard from Danny after the season, so I would imagine we do.
I would imagine too, but a lot of norms that used to be the thing are not the thing anymore. So I don't know.
He's done usually a preseason and a postseason thing. Danny is not as unavailable as it's been painted.
Dennis used to come on my show weekly.
No, that's not happening anymore. But I mean the idea that, like, Danny's standing courtside before every game, and if you want to go grab him, you can talk to him. Like,
he will
talk.
But I'm not going to be complain media guy. But, you know, when I used to produce, like, speaking of David and hearkening back, you know how hard it was to get Kevin O'Connor on the air? It was a phone call.
Yeah, right. No, we would love that access, obviously. That's gone. That's been taken away.
But not just access, like, just... It doesn't have to be an exclusive radio interview. It doesn't have to be exclusive print with Ben Anderson interview. How about a press conference once in a while? I actually get the complaint that we don't hear enough from him. And the fact that you actually have to say, well, he's actually more accessible than you think, shouldn't be necessary.
I get that. I totally get that.
You should just be accessible.
I do think there is some sense from fans that, like, Danny is hiding and that you never see him and that, like, there's this master puppeteer behind the scenes.
Fine, but that's not fans' fault.
No, it's not. It's
not his fault.
No, and actually probably part of it is the media that has not translated that very well also. I mean, I can say
it myself. You're not, your job isn't to make excuses for him.
I'm not making excuses
for him. No, I know, but I'm saying, what do you mean explain it to him? Just talk.
Sure.
It's not that hard.
That's fine.
You guys haven't been misrepresenting anything. You haven't reported anything because there's nothing to report. And I like the way the Jazz are run, but the accessibility to media is I don't know. I don't know why.
That's a failing grade.
Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah, it's
a
failing grade.
I don't know why you wouldn't do that. But whatever. Nobody cares about our plight. But I actually think that the fan is the one that suffers.
Fans always do feel better when they hear from
Yes.
When they understand what's going on. Because they feel lost without these long gaps in between who speaks to the media.
And actually, if you're worried about the fan base being grumpy, which I would guess that they are over there. I don't know. But I would guess they're worried about the fan base being grumpy. You know what quells a lot of grumpiness?
Information? Answers?
But the general manager standing up being like, it's all right. We needed to lose some games. This is going to get our draft pick. We're hoping we hit a home run with that pick. And it's really going to be something that you can be optimistic about in the future. All of a sudden, everybody comes away and goes, oh, well, okay. All right. Well, I'm going to move on about my summer as opposed to thinking about secret plots and who's the Rasputin running the scenes because we don't see anybody.
Yeah. That has become a vacuum that's easy for people to throw things in that I actually don't think exists. But because there's this black hole, this void, you can put whatever in there you want, right? Because we don't know, or at least fans don't know. And I think that's what I'm trying to translate is I think there is less unknown than it feels. But because, yes, there's not those public comments, it's easy to put whatever conspiracy you want in that voice.
Yeah, but no offense to you or me either, but they're not going to believe us. You're not going to say, oh, actually, it's you know, this and this and that. Nobody's going to come away and go, oh, okay, well, Ben said so.
Which, with all due respect, the funny thing and part of the reason why I think the Jazz aren't talking and why you are seeing fewer general managers and stuff talk is because they can just lie to you. They can just say, I mean, it's a thing called coach speak, right? Like, we know what they're saying is lying. It's kind of the truth. It hints at stuff, or it just kind of paints over stuff with broad information that doesn't actually tell you anything.
Oh, I agree, but there's a reason people do it. And I wouldn't say coach speak is lying. It's just not saying anything.
Right. It's not saying
Which,
anything.
Speaking of Dennis Lindsay, he was the king of that.
The king of it.
Speak for a half an hour and not say a single thing.
Thank 40 people in a conversation. It's just what he would do. He'd just sit and thank people. Be like, well, I've talked for 20 minutes now. Well, you thanked Linda Lucchetti 14 times, but...
Shout out to Linda.
One
of my favorite
people.
Shout out
to all the, yeah. A lot of movers and shakers over there. People got to get jobs done, but that's not quelling the fear of Jazz fans.
Rather have that than nothing.
Huh.
See, that's the excuse as well. Do you want me to come out here and coach speak you for a half an hour? Well, at least that's something. At least that's acknowledging somebody's existence.
Ben.
At least that's acknowledging that it's part of your job to communicate with your fan base.
I appreciate the question. I understand why I have to ask that question. I'm not going to address it at this time. That was Dennis. That's Dennis's go-to.
But even that's a comment. I mean, even a no comment is a comment. And at least he's fielding questions.
Sure. But I do think we will hear from Danny next week. I would imagine
I hope so.
We do. I would imagine we do.
But all I'm saying is nothing's guaranteed.
No, it's not. Certainly not.
We had a famous Gordon Hayward's last interview in Salt Lake was on my show, live from Locker Room Cleanout. And it was right when the renovation was happening that day. Remember, they started the renovation day one, and they knocked out the entire internet for the building day one, like they were cracking into something. And all of a sudden, so Gordon Hayward's last interview in Utah lasted about 3 minutes. And then our connection dropped, and we couldn't be like he was trying to get out of there so fast. He threw down the headset, and he's like, all right, guys, I'm out of here. And then, bam, he was like Kaiser Soze. He was gone.
The end of the Donovan Mitchell-Rudy Gobert was a postgame. Was the end of the season postgame.
My point is that we're not going to have a locker room cleanout, I would guess.
No, there's
I
no,
haven't,
there's no
I haven't heard hide nor hair.
Well, there's nothing
it's
Monday.
Just,
no.
That's no longer a thing. That used to be the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's no longer a thing anymore. So I don't know who speaks and who doesn't.
Players won't. Maybe Will Hardy will. And maybe they don't do it because Justin Zanuck's not available. Maybe they don't.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have more coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5 KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You have sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Let's give away some tickets. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We're hooking you up with a pair of tickets to go see RSL take on Columbus Crew on April 13th at America First Field. That would be this Saturday, 801-575-ZONE. And go catch a little RSL. What's the weather looking like this weekend, Ben? Any idea?
Beautiful.
Is it going to be gorgeous?
Yep.
I think it's in the 70s, isn't it?
Is it really? Oh, man, go take in some soccer. Oh, yeah, Saturday is supposed to be lovely. Perfect. All right. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. Ben, of course, the big story, the potential to be a huge, huge, huge story. It looks like Salt Lake is on the brink of getting an NHL franchise. A lot of news breaking yesterday. And let's go through some of it because Scotty and Hance had Frank Saravalli he's a hockey insider and president of hockey content for Daily Faceoff, who's been breaking a lot of this news. Great land by Lloyd yesterday, getting him on the air. Let's go through a couple of the deets, Ben. Do the kids say that, deets?
Yeah, that's exactly what the kids say. Okay. That's what they all say.
Oh, good. Oh, fantastic. All right, let's start with Frank talking about how this could happen next fall.
This is developing rapidly. It's not done, but I'm told that they've made significant and meaningful progress on what would be the framework of an agreement to sell the Arizona Coyotes franchise ultimately to Ryan Smith and the Smith Entertainment Group and bring NHL hockey to Salt Lake City in time for puck drop in October.
I mean, the big part of that is that October.
But that's part of the strategy, I think, for Salt Lake being able to land this thing is that, like, hey, we got a building. It's here.
Yeah.
You could be here tomorrow.
Right. We are a solution, and then it's going to improve while you're here because the building has the funding to improve for you. But we are ready day one turnkey.
We even have this great partner at Bailey's Moving and Storage.
We'll get you up there.
Hey, we'll get down there. We'll get the whole infrastructure up here. Toot sweet.
It's funny to be on this side of it and say, man, this is moving quick, where I'm sure the movers and the shakers and the amount of time Ryan Smith has spent with what Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, is, I'm sure he would roll his eyes at the idea that this has been a quick or easy process. But it is amazing how fast this is coming together for how long this has been talked about as a potential option for Utah to add another major league sports team, a, you know, major four sports league, bring it to Salt Lake. So for it to potentially sell in a week and be here in October would be unbelievable.
Well, apparently it's pretty far down the road, far enough, according to Frank, that there's even been a memo created. Let's go ahead and hear that.
I can't answer specifically for the NHL, but my opinion would be it's one of the fastest growing markets in the U.S. By and large, it's mostly pretty wealthy. It has a hockey history. There's clearly a sort of tech component to a lot of what is being built in Salt Lake City, too. There's people, you know, that are moving in left, right, and center, it feels like. Proximity to some other teams. The fact that there is winter activities and stuff happening around it. It's not, you know, a Sunbelt team, so to speak. And I'd also say really the deep pockets and care that Ryan Smith has shown as steward of the Utah Jazz that has really helped his case.
All right, that was a different clip that was talking about why Salt Lake City would be a good fit for the NHL. We'll get to that other one about the memo coming up here in a second. But what do you think about what Frank said there, Ben?
Well, we've talked about being sandwiched in between Colorado and Las Vegas, hopefully is a strength and not end up a weakness. But we are in a strength of an area for hockey in the country. I mean, the Golden Knights have been fabulous. The Avalanche have long been fabulous and are back again. So if you can build up that idea that this is an identity that fits in with that area where Arizona was never really able to benefit off of that, you would hope that that would be an overwhelming positive. And like you said, you know, I'm a moron, but when I think of hockey, I generally think of cold weather towns. I know Vegas doesn't fit that, but it makes sense in Detroit. It makes sense in Canada. It makes sense in Colorado. Like all these areas where it has succeeded, the New York Rangers, I think of these cold weather towns, and Utah is a cold weather town. And what actually I like about that is it's a completely different conversation than what we always have about the Jazz and how nobody wants to come here. It's like, I don't know. I think these guys are used to playing in the cold. A lot of these guys grew up because they lived in areas where there was outdoor skating rinks where you could go play because it was cold enough in the winter that your pond froze over, your lake froze over, and you could go and play and learn as a kid to play that way. So being in Salt Lake City isn't a negative the way we've always had to talk about it with the Jazz.
I don't think our proximity to Vegas and Denver has anything to do with anything. Does that matter?
No, not in the sense that, like, if it was the drawing factor, it would have been here earlier. But if there is a culture of it mattering, yeah, it can certainly be a benefit.
Well, the culture here, hockey, has not mattered. So they're going to have to actually overcome the culture. I don't think there's an army of Avalanche fans that all of a sudden are going to switch over to be...
No, certainly not.
I don't...
But actually, you know what? I see a ton of Golden Knights stuff in Salt Lake. I really do. I see a lot of people here who are Golden Knights fans, and they were good quickly, and maybe that has helped. But I think the fact that it has been somewhat relevant in this area and that it is not this just like team on an island in the middle of nowhere that doesn't really make sense geographically, I actually do think that is an advantage. I think that helps.
I don't know. Maybe it does. I think capitalizing on the Olympics may be a consideration. That if the Olympics are coming back here, having an NHL franchise here would be a big deal for everybody.
Hey, I mean,
kind of one of those types of things. I just don't know if the Golden Knights or Avalanche have any sort of impact. I get your cold weather town and not being and being able to draw players. I suppose it could make a difference. I have to learn a little bit more about hockey free agency and those sorts of things. I mean, I would guess like. It's not the NBA where player empowerment is a real thing.
Well, there's a hard cap.
Right.
There's no, a legit hard I know cap. That, that's like a huge plus. I mean, that honestly, that eliminates a lot of player empowerment. And I'm pro-player, to be honest with you, though obviously when it gets too far, it becomes obnoxious. And players being able to dictate what other players on other teams do is insane. And the agency part of it is asinine and I think is bad for basketball. But I like the idea of a hard cap where you spend what you spend and it's kind of equal footing.
Yeah, but I don't think Alexander Ovechkin has been in Washington for his entire career because he loves the nation's capital.
I agree.
So I don't know how much of that, well, I'm going to go play where I want to play even matters in hockey. That's something we're going to have to dig into a little bit.
Yep.
I don't know if they actually have the control for that even to be a factor. Because in the NBA, I mean, the pendulum has swung so far over to the other side. You don't even know who's on whose team anymore. And there's no such thing as a star that stays with the same team for the whole time.
It encourages teams to do what the Jazz are doing. Strip it down to the studs and just wait for that star to need a trade, and then you've got the ability to do it. Does that exist in hockey?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, let's squeeze in that clip about the memo real quick.
The NHL has sent a memo to the Board of Governors alerting them. I haven't had eyes on that memo yet, but I can tell you this. It's been sent to a very, very small circle of owners, and even some other members of the Board of Governors have not received this memo. They're trying to keep the circle tight. So there's been an acknowledgement in league circles among owners that something is happening.
So there you go. Memo exists out there, even though Frank has not seen it. And I think this is super far down the road. All the people saying, well, you got to wait till the ink is dry before it happens. I think that's true because anything could fall apart at any time. But I think this is about as done as it can be.
Yep, agreed. We are just waiting on the official tweet is what I think.
You know, the Coyotes, though, have been weird where they keep tweeting stuff that's to the contrary. But I think this owner is... It has something to prove. I think this has been an ego measuring contest from the beginning. Like, you say we can't keep it here at Phoenix. Well, yes, we can. Yeah. We'll show you. And then they fail over and over again.
One of the things that actually Sarah Valli said yesterday, again, if you missed it on Hans and Scotty, go listen to the full interview, that the owner very much is kind of like the first in his family and has become this billionaire and is a little showy. Wants to be a guy who's always proven everybody wrong. And that's kind of his edge. And it doesn't always work in his favor, it sounds like.
Not at the moment.
Yep, not at the moment.
All right, wrapping up the show next. Stay tuned, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Get this, Ben. Rumor has it Augusta National freezes its famed azaleas during warmer years to ensure they're always in full bloom the week of the Masters. Just fraudulent.
Well, it's a movie set. Like you said, it's designed specifically for this. We don't care about it any other weekend the rest of the year.
Somebody snuck a sample of the water apparently back in the 90s. Or no, was it? Yeah, 1996. And they tested it, Ben. Food dye.
Yeah. Got to make it look pretty.
Lame.
Yeah, I mean the lines and everything being so straight, not possible. And I'm sure actually up close it doesn't look as good. But on TV it translates very well.
Lame. Be who you are. Are you the greatest golf course in the world or not?
Ippe Mizuhara, Shohei Ohtani's longtime interpreter and confidant, has been charged with bank fraud after it was discovered he transferred more than $16 million from Ohtani's account to an alleged illegal sports book, federal authorities announced in L.A. court today.
It said Shohei had nothing to do with it.
It said it was not used to bet on baseball, but this is not the original. What was it, $4 million originally?
Yeah.
Up to 16 now. Ben, I still don't think this case is done. Ben, not implicating Shohei, but...
Yet another example. Always have a fall guy, dude.
Have a guy.
Always have a fall guy. Somebody, whether they know it or not, somebody that's going down and that knows how to keep their mouth shut. Who was Barry Bonds' fall guy? He was like the best fall guy in history. All he had to do was sell out Barry, and he did like 3 years in jail.
Yeah.
What was his name? Something Anderson.
Whoa. Relax.
That's not like a relative of yours.
People.
No, it was, but Ray Anderson? Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think you're right. Sounds familiar.
Just, hey, Ray, shut your pie hole, do your jail time, and I'll take care of you on the other end. Although, I wonder how much jail time he's
Greg
looking at.
Anderson?
Greg Anderson.
Is that who it was? Not Ray?
According to Google.
Greg Anderson. No, that's right. I'm sure that's right. Greg Anderson. So this guy goes away for 5 years, comes out, Shohei takes care of him. Good to go. Find a fall guy.
You know how many of those fall guys probably never end up getting taken care of, though? Because once you come out, yeah, you're a felon.
Well, yeah, I mean,
no one's going to believe a word you say.
You could have him shivved,
to be an idiot.
Shivved in prison or something. You know, you don't want to take care of him on the other side, but.
Yeah, I bet these. I bet a lot of these fall guys think, yeah, it'll be fine.
Dude, he makes
out.
So much dough. I would take care of him on the other side. Don't worry about it. I got you on the other side. Making $1 billion from playing baseball.
Yeah, as long as he's actually a fall guy. Yeah. Which I guess we will get more of this story.
No,
as
we
it
won't.
Goes to court.
No, this story is over. This guy's going down, and that's it. It's Tim Donaghy. They don't want it to go anywhere else, Ben. It won't.
Yeah, if he's not going to talk, if he's going to sit on this. But $16 million in bank fraud is, that's real jail time. That's not 6 weeks in jail.
Is it? Depends on what kind of deal.
$16 million?
Yeah, but white-collar criminals get a slap on the wrist all the time.
Yeah. I guess we will watch.
He'll cut a sweetheart deal, do a few years in prison, and we'll never, we could have a gentleman's bet on this.
$16 million
a lunch.
Worth.
I bet you this is it.
We never hear any more about this story.
No. Nope.
It's possible.
We'll hear about it at sentencing.
When he gets sentenced.
And then that'll be it. That'll be that. Shohei gets a new interpreter and everybody moves on.
You know, my favorite conspiracy right now is that Shohei speaks perfect English. Have you seen some of those clips? Where people are like, talking to him and he's like, yeah. And then they're like...
Yeah, I'm sure his English is terrific. Although I have some sympathy that like it'd be hard to do tons
Absolutely.
Of media availability in your second language.
Absolutely, but
and understanding and speaking. This is something I get with my wife who
absolutely.
Knows Farsi but doesn't use it a whole lot. She's not very confident in speaking it, but she understands everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not gonna. People on the internet can...
I'm not burying him for it, for sure. No.
All right. Hans and Scott are coming up next. Stay tuned. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jake and Ben, want to remind you, we are going to be at Peach tomorrow. Peach Windows and Doors, Utah's premier window and door retailer. They combine beauty and technology on windows and doors. Been doing it since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. And we will be there tomorrow, 2940 South, 300 West in Salt Lake.
I'll see you there.
See you tomorrow, Ben.
Thanks, 97.5,
the KSL Sports Zone.